Hey, Cleaning Nation, ever listen to the show and think, if I could just get this guy to help me out, I would save so much time and frustration? Or my life would be awesome if I could just get a few of these systems they're actually talking about actually implemented into my business? Well, if that's you, I've got some spectacular news. I am hosting our first ever live event. We are personally going to walk through the Clean Profit Method with no more than 16 owners and cleaning companies in just 2.5 days. I cannot wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. If this is scratching where you itch, stop watching or listening to the show right now and go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details. Like I said, I can't wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by thanking you for being the best human beings on the face of the earth. As a community, Cleaning Nation, you guys are the best. You subscribe, you rate, you review, keep the good reviews coming on iTunes. You're all over the YouTube channel with comments, liking, and subscribing there. You all are amazing. Thank you. I continue putting out this show because of you. Today, we are chatting with Joshua Lee from At Ease Commercial Cleaning. At Ease has been serving the Northeast Ohio area with commercial cleaning services for just over a year. If you want to reach out to Joshua and his team, you can hold him at www.ateasecommercialcleaning.com. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to just be totally honest with everybody on the podcast and on the video. I have been back to back, and I'm starving. So there's a 90% chance I'll be eating an apple when we could do this podcast. So those of you on the video, I'm sorry if it disgusts you as it should. Look away, and I'll try to keep all the audio off from you poor podcast listener. I'm sorry. I don't know what other podcast you can listen to where the idiot host is like, I'm going to be eating an apple, and apples are crunchy. So I'm admitting now I'm a terrible human being, but hopefully the content will be so good you will forgive me. So. That said, give me a little bit about your background, man. What's going on? How'd you get in the cleaning business?
So this is a new business that my partner and I, aka my a very good friend of mine from high school, we started up after a little bit after we graduated, and really neither one of our backgrounds are in this. I mean, didn't really go to college. Neither one of us, Preston, my partner, he just left college to kind of focus on the business itself. However, our backgrounds are really just high school, middle school, little elementary school. And right afterwards, we got started with trying different businesses out with each other. We've tried landscaping. We've tried clothing. We've done events. And we finally got to the point where we got to commercial cleaning. And it's been something that has blew up more than anything else that we have done. So we decided to stick with it. I would definitely say the fact that we kept going with it. Before the businesses that we did, we got kind of upset because we didn't have the results we wanted in like the first couple months, and we just gave up. And truthfully, that's it. We just gave up. They might have been able to be successful. However, we just gave up too quickly. And fortunately for this one, when we started this, we got a good contract right away, and it kind of fueled us with that energy that we were like, you know what, this is actually something big that we can do. And the beautiful thing with commercial cleaning, we got into a contract and we get paid monthly. So it wasn't any more of that, not sure what we're going to do next week, not sure what we're going to do next month. You know, now
so,
we can kind of see.
So before we jump into the coaching, how'd you get that first contract? I guarantee there's a lot of commercial folks out there wanting their first contract. How'd you get your first contract?
It was totally handed to us, and I am not afraid to admit that. We actually worked, both of us in the past, we worked at a pizza shop, and the owner, we knew there was people coming in to clean for them, and this was, I left a few years earlier. My partner, Preston, he just recently left. However, we knew that they had commercial cleaners, and we knew that that was the business we wanted to get into, so we pitched them. They had us on like a trial period for a number of months. And then eventually they said, you know what, you guys are the bomb. We accept you guys. And then we've been doing it for two of their locations ever since. So really this one was just a stroke of luck. Like it was handed to us. We didn't.
So
really
first of all,
get it.
This wasn't handed to you at all. A, you had to know these people, right? They didn't hand it to you as you're sitting at home and strangers pound on your door and throw money your way and say, clean something. You built a business relationship with these people. And when you decided you wanted to get into commercial cleaning, you asked them for the business. And then when they gave you a trial, you did a good job. So I'm going to take away any of this. Well, at first, it's an excuse for everyone else listening. Oh, they just got lucky. No, they did not. They built relationships with other humans that had that were in a decision-making position for the business that you were in. And then you asked them for the business. And when they gave you a trial, you did a good job. So I'm going to totally disagree with it was handed to you and replace that with you built relationships and then you leverage those relationships and then you delivered on the goods and now you have a job. That's how a lot of them work. So I want to encourage you on that.
That's what happened.
All right, cool. So what's going on in your world today that I can help you with, my friend?
So my partner and I'm 21 years old. My partner's 22. We are young in comparison to the other people in our industry. And we find that our competitors are much older than we are, connecting with other business owners who are roughly their same age and would potentially be considered peers to them. And we just feel like we're at a disadvantage, one, being so young, two, being, you know, this isn't our background. It's not like we know everything when it comes to cleaning. So sometimes we have questions that we get questions that we truly just don't know how to answer. And you know, there's things that just come in our way, just with our age and us being so new, wanting to compete with businesses that have been around longer than I've been alive.
Okay, cool. I've got a lot to say on that. I'm actually going to expand it to a couple things because, you know, I don't want people to tune out that are like, oh, I'm 47. I don't have that problem. So the question I'm going to answer is, how do you compete with people that are more experienced than you are, right? Whether it's years in the business, years on this earth, or in your case, both, right? Like everyone has more years on this earth in this business. To establish myself as a credible authority on this, I bought my first very small business. All my employees quit on the first day, for those of you that have been fans. I bought my very first business when I was 22 years old. It was a ServiceMaster franchise. And not only was I 22, but I had a baby face and looked like I was about 7. And I felt very much the same way that you felt. And I compensated. I'm going to tell you the wrong answer, which is what I did. And then we'll tell you the right answer, which is what you can do. I overcompensated by trying to be super professional. I worked harder, which is a good thing. So that part you can do. But the trying to be super professional, act like I knew everything. And I went overly unprofessional, right? I wanted to be put up this facade that I was crazy professional. What I should have done was lean into it. And let me tell you how, and it's so funny that my only job I really had other than a waiter was as a car salesperson when I was, you know, 19 to 21. And then I quit that job, which I was doing very well at, to start a business because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So as a young guy, I quickly learned, like, I had never even bought a car at a car dealership, right? These guys were all older and smarter than I. They'd bought 7 cars and I had bought no cars, right? And I was new. I didn't know anything about it. So I quickly learned to lean into it, right? Instead of trying to act smart and be like, hey, let me tell you everything about this car because I'm the expert, I went the opposite way and said, hey, I'm young and dumb and I'm just this car salesman and you probably know more about cars than I know. So I'm just here to help you, but you're the genius. Not as some sort of ploy, but because that was the reality. I could pretend I was smart, but I wasn't. And after a while, you know, you sell 10 cars a month. After a year, you sold 100 cars. So I actually did know what I was talking about. But the, hey, you're smart and I'm dumb worked so well, I just kind of, and again, I didn't lie or anything, but I just made them be the hero. They were the smart ones, right? And I was okay being dumb. And they kind of, you know, metaphorically put their arm around me like, all right, son, let me show you how this works. And I said, okay, boss, you show me how this thing works. Even, you know, after a while, I knew how it worked. But they felt good getting to be the smart person. And I was totally comfortable enough to be the dumb person. And that worked out well. Mm. They liked buying from someone that looked up to them. And again, even if that, once I did know more about car, you know, at least, you know, buying and selling cars than they did, they still knew more about life. So a lot of these guys, I'd be interested. What do you do for a living? How do you make that much money? Is that, you know, how's it? I would just listen and let them be the experts. And they loved me. And I did very, very well being dumb. And then somehow when I put on the entrepreneurial hat, I lost my dang mind and thought like that for some reason wouldn't work. And I had to act all professional, like I was as smart as everybody. And I wasn't. What I should have done is just leaned into it and said, hey, I'm new to this business. I'm new to to life. I'm 21 years old. I don't know, you know, my butt from a hole in the ground, but no one's going to outwork me, and I'll tell you the truth. And if you'll help me through this, I'll be the best guy you ever hired. That's very appealing, right? Everybody in their life is going to be like, listen to me, I'm smart. Shut up and let me help you. And people don't like that. People like feeling smart and important and looked up to. So if you make them feel, and again, you have to be sincere, right? If you start manipulating people, that's not effective. But if you're just transparent and say, I don't know nothing about nothing. I know I'm passionate about this business and I desperately want to do well. And I know the only one I'm going to do well is to make you deliriously, ridiculously, stupidly happy. So you tell me how I can do that. As long as it's fair and ethical and, you know, you can't pay me a nickel to work 100 hours a week. But as long as you're fair with me, I'll bust my hump to make sure that you are the happiest guy in the world. Is that a fair deal? And you just call it like it is. There's other guys that are smarter, probably better looking, maybe taller. They certainly know more than I do. But here's what I have to offer. And I think you'll find that to be very compelling as opposed to pretending like I did, which is so stupid. I don't say to be a know-it-all, but to pretend like I was super professional and knew what the heck I was talking about when I didn't. Is that, you picking up any of that?
I picked all of that, and I love all of that.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, are you enjoying the show? Want to go from listening to doing? If you're committed to making this the year that you kick your company into hypergrowth and actually start implementing all the systems that I coach on this show that will allow you to work on your business instead of in it, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details on our upcoming live event. I'm going to personally walk you and 15 other entrepreneurs through the entire Clean Profit Method in just 2.5 days. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. And I'm telling you, if you lean into it, it's fun, right? Because you don't have to have this pressure of, I got to be professional. And when you do that and someone asks you the question that you don't know the answer to, I'll give you the answer. Gosh, Joshua, that's a really good question. If I was smarter, I would know the answer, but I'm not. But I promise you, give me an hour or two, I'm going to find out and call you back. And they're not going to, oh, how dare you? I need an encyclopedia. You must know everything about cleaning off the top of your head. That's insane. They don't expect that. And I'll tell you, they buy from people they know, like, and trust. They know, like, and trust you when they feel comfortable with you. And when you're trying to spout off, well, you're going to need to use your CRL cleaner with this, and because, you know, the MSDS sheets are over here, and you start acting like a big smarty, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what's going on. They feel uncomfortable. They want to get rid of you. But when you go, gosh, Josh, that's a great question. I don't know nothing. Would you throw me out of my ear if I just said, I don't know, but I'll get the answer for you? You're not going to be like, yeah, no. I'm going to throw you out in your ear. I hate you. You're going to go, what a nice guy. This guy's being honest with me. So lean into it, lean into it, lean into it. That's the first piece. Second piece is, you would be shocked at how little people think about you and how much they think about them. So if you just, and again, this kind of ties into what we were saying before. Mm-hmm. If you just, they really, before I was married, I dated this gal that was crazy good looking, and she was a lawyer, and she said something that, this is like over 10 years ago, I still remember it. She's like, yeah, being really a pretty, because I, you know, give her a hard time, like, oh, you're a pretty girl, everything's easy for you, right? Like, you live the pretty girl life, like, every, you know, alcohol is free and life is perfect. And she's like, you know what? I found being good looking will get you that first conversation, but that's it. After that, that you get treated just like everybody else, right? If someone, she was a criminal lawyer, so if someone's looking to, you know, keep them out of jail, they might go, oh, hey, this is an attractive woman. And sure, it'll help a conversation. She's like, I can have more conversations with people. I walk into an office, people are like, hey, I'll talk to you. But after that, they're like, what can you do for me? Like, it's over. You're going to have that same thing. When they first talk to you on the phone or see you face to face, they might go, oh, wow, you're a lot younger than I expected. And then that's it. That's it. It's not going to hurt you. That's that, right? Like, oh, you're a pretty girl. Oh, you're 6'7". Oh, you're whatever. There's a surprise, right? They didn't expect it. And then they're going to go based on how you act. And so again, there, and how they're going to go on how you can act is, can this person help me? So if you're trying to sell your brain surgery services, we're going to have a problem, right? You do need to be experienced, because you can't be like, I don't know anything about the brain, Mike, but you let me cut your head open, I promise I'll work my tail off. That's not going to work, right? I'm going to pass with you, and I'm going to go with an old guy that's done 100 of these. But luckily, we're not in the brain surgery business. We're in the service business. Your job is to make people feel good about themselves. So they're not looking at you as, this guy's young, or he's stupid, or how long have you been in business? All they're looking at is, can you help me? I have a pain. A, do you understand it? And B, if you do understand it, B, can you solve it? And if they feel like, yes, you understand their pain, and trust me, if they know that you understand their pain, they believe that you can solve it. You don't even have to tell them they can solve it. Just by demonstrating you understand their pain better than anybody else, they are going to assume that you can solve it. So as long as that's your communication, I am here to help you. I understand. And that's why niches are good, right? If you do restaurants, you're going to say, hey, you want, you know, you want to make sure that you're compliant with whoever comes in and inspects restaurants. You want to make sure your clients never leave early or buy less food because it's disgusting or smells bad. Like, you're going to know what their specific pain is. And just by virtue of you knowing their pain better than anyone else they talk to, they don't care if that guy's been doing this for 20 years, you've been doing it for 20 minutes. If you understand my pain better than that guy, I'm going with you. I don't care about your age. I don't care about your experience. I don't care if you're a good looking girl. All I care about is, do you understand my pain, and can you and will you solve it at a price I can afford? So as long as you get to set the you get to set the stage for that conversation around that. I know your pain, and I'm going to take care of it and work my tail off harder than anyone else you're ever going to meet. Very compelling. Questions, comments, or rude remarks before we move on?
I don't know how you do it, but you nailed it. That answered my question, so well. Thank you.
Beautiful, man. I'm glad I could help. And I'll tell you how I do it. I asked a lot of stupid questions for about 20 years and made a bunch of mistakes. And then I made newer and better and smarter mistakes. And my goal for you, for Cleaning Nation, is to help you make new and better, you know, make different mistakes than the stupid ones that I made. So I have been where you're at. I did it the wrong way. And I'll tell you, not only will your financial life be better, but your life will just be better if you're just lean into who you are. And again, the climate that we're in today, millennials are getting a bad rap. There's a lot of, if you're under 30 or under 27 or whatever the technical millennial is, there's this assumption that you're lazy, you're entitled, you think the world revolves around you. And a lot of these older people that you're going to be selling to or trying to help have this feeling of, I'm old man Campion and I think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. These kids don't know the value of hard work. That's a huge opportunity for you. If you walk in at 19 and go, I will put my hand in that toilet, I will clean it, and I'm here to hump harder than anyone else has ever humped. You don't owe me nothing, but you give me a chance and I'm going to rock your world. Dude, you are going to stand out. That is not typical among young people of any time, right? Every generation thinks it's young people are dumb and stupid, but every generation's young people are dumb and stupid because they're young. So if you just say, I know I'm young and stupid, but I'm going to work my tail off to be smart and whatever, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb, and I promise that's going to be very attractive to your prospective clients.
That's good to hear.
Cool. All right. As much as I love helping you, I have a feeling that you've got a very cool perspective, and I want to get into it. So we're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. Believe it or not, I'll actually shut my mouth for 2 seconds, and we're going to give you the chance to educate Cleaning Nation on your experience from where you're at.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, and this is not, these aren't hard. This is just your experience, because I promise you, your perspective is very different than mine, and I'm dying to hear it. So first question, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? Personally, professionally, business, doesn't matter. Just the best piece of wholesale advice you've ever heard, share it with the world.
The best piece of advice came from an author named Peter Voogt, and in one of his books, he discussed this topic of information overload, and maybe he stole it from somebody else. Maybe people have talked about it in the past, but he came with this topic called information overload, where you begin to try to fill yourself up with so much information instead of taking action. And when I heard that, I realized myself, you know, when even in this business, I would take so much time to try to learn everything, try to figure everything out and nail it and be perfect. And I was filling myself up with too much rather than spending that time doing something that made a difference.
Great advice. Learn less, do more. Not that you only need to learn at all, but yeah, especially people that pay me for my coaching. My least favorite is the people that don't implement. So I would rather you learn less and go slower and implement everything than go really fast and learn everything, don't do anything. Great feedback. Love it. Second question, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so far, so we can all learn from each other's mistakes?
Ooh, man, the biggest mistake we've made so far. I would say our biggest mistake so far has been not really being smart with what we did with our money. You know, sometimes there's been many times where We spend our money to do things for clients. I'm not saying not to do things for clients, but sometimes we just did stuff that just put us at a financial loss just to kind of make clients happy and do services they didn't even ask for in the first place. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but in my example would be, buying a floor scrubber to clean the restaurant that didn't even want their floor scrubbed that way. They just wanted us to come and mop, and we thought we were, doing something awesome for them, and it just kind of put more stress on us. And I don't know, that just thinking back, those kind of mistakes were our biggest ones. When, we were trying to fix something that was not broken, I guess you can say.
I got to give you some feedback. First of all, that's very astute observation for a guy your age. I love that you picked that up. Second of all, I love where your heart's at. If you're going to fail on the side of, I was working so hard to please my customers, do a good job, and we went too far. I love that. That long term, that's going to pay off. So I'm not saying keep doing that. I am saying your heart's in the right spot. You're heading the right direction. You're going to figure it out. I love that. And that's great feedback. And I love that you're just like, I love people who are transparent. My least favorite answer is, I don't know, I haven't made any mistakes. My best answer is, I make 47 mistakes this morning before noon. What's the best one? And I love that you're just open. So your attitude is going to serve you well, my friend. All right, last question. What's one idea, something easy to implement? Could be big or small. Could be make your bed every morning. Doesn't have to be anything life-shattering. Just has to be something easy to implement that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now, as soon as the show ends, that will make their life or their business just a little bit better.
It's the one that my partner and I were working on right now, is to take action daily. We there's days and there's weeks. I mean, I work full time still, and my partner, he's the one who has the freedom to be doing the business full time. But one of the things that we find ourselves in is not taking action every single day. And once we start taking action daily and we start setting goals, and him and I, we message each other back and forth, say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. These are the things that need to get done. And we make sure they get done every single day we do that. And I mean, it really gets the ball moving. It really gets some momentum going, and we love it.
You're wise beyond your years, my friend. Just take a little bit of action every day is some of the most profound advice I've heard, and I get a lot of advice. All right, Joshua, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your story, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Joshua's show notes page and the special video I just made for you, there's a bunch of free training. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.